Good evening or afternoon, I guess, for some of you. I am so excited to be here for my first ever ILCT class, and I'm really grateful to Ellen and for ILCT for this opportunity to speak to everybody about my first love, social media. So I'm Tracy, and I'll be your social media guru for the evening. I am a social media
Tracy,
specialist.
We are thrilled to have you, and this is something that I cannot tell you how many students have said, wait, I don't get Facebook and Twitter and stuff, so I am thrilled that you're going to do this entire series of classes for us. So that's wonderful, and I turn it over to you. And for anyone who has questions and you want to unmute yourself, you just need to hit *6 to unmute. So Tracy, take it away, and thank you.
Great, wonderful. Thank you so much. We will have a question and answer at the end of this, and it's certainly fine if you want to pop in and ask a question, but you'll have an opportunity at the end, and we'll go into some, you know, deep questions and answers if something just stirred up in you while we're talking. So first of all, I am a social media specialist, and I manage social media pages for small businesses, and I consult with people just like you to show them how to use their social pages to build their business presence online. But before we dive in, there are a couple of things that you can do as we go along that will help you get the most out of this module. The first thing is to follow along in the PDF that you were sent. Now, if you didn't get that, don't panic. You can still take good notes. It's really mostly some visuals to help kind of give you pictures in your mind about how social media works. And the second thing is to take notes and write down any questions that come to mind, because like I said, at the end of the session, we'll have a short Q&A. And if you don't end up getting a question answered on this call, if we run out of time, you can certainly email me and I'll answer you personally. My email address, along with a special offer and some resources, is at the end of this PDF, but no peeking ahead. We'll get there soon enough, but I wanted to let you know that it's there, and we'll talk about that at the end. So let's rock and roll with this module. It's titled Social Media Overview. So we'll begin with the most basic questions of all that's found on page 2 of your PDF. And that is, what is social media? Now, of course, I know that many of you already use social media, either for personal use or for business or for both. So many of you may have a good idea of what it is and maybe even a good idea about ways you can use it to build your coaching practice. But I'll start at the very beginning because this is an overview so that no coach is left behind. Social media could be defined as Internet-based tools and platforms that increase and enhance the sharing of information, in a nutshell. With social platforms like Facebook, LinkedIn, or Twitter, we can easily transfer text, photos, audio, video, and other information fluidly to Internet users, your friends, your family, business colleagues. When it comes to using social media to market yourself, or your product or your services, it's called social media marketing. And that is simply defined as it's social media that you use specifically to drive attention or traffic to whatever web page that you use to sell yourself or your product or your services, be it your website or Facebook page or whatever you consider that one hub that you're using. Now, social media, as you know all too well, it's changed the landscape of communication entirely. If you're in my age bracket, you remember the days when you had to wait till 6 o'clock to get the evening news. But with Instagram and Twitter, well, news is captured in the moment these days and broadcasted to millions. When I was a kid and you wanted to know something, I trekked my happy little self down to the library, or I asked my mom, who is a walking encyclopedia. Well, now we use Google or Bing or some other search engine to get information instantly, and it's more information than we could possibly digest. Well, back in the day, if you had something to share, you typically told one person who told one person, or maybe if you were lucky, you got to make an announcement to a crowd of two or three or five or ten. But with social media, the internet has become the primary conduit for individuals to express themselves to large audiences that can potentially be hundreds or even thousands, using platforms like YouTube or Facebook or Twitter. And, of course, if something goes viral, we've all heard that term a million times, the numbers of viewers can grow into the millions in a flash. And a viral would be defined as something that reaches mass quantities of people in a short period of time by getting passed along from person to person. So really the big question is in this module is just how important is social media in today's landscape? And even more importantly, why should you, as a coach building a practice, care about it? So to begin to answer these questions, let me ask you a question that's found on the following page. On page 3 is where you should be in the PDF, and the question is, how much time do you spend online each day? Do you think it's 10 minutes, 20, an hour, or more? Well, it might be surprising to you to learn that in a recent study, the average person spends over 24 hours online per week. Now, the thing that's eating up the lion's share of time might also surprise you. It's actually not people looking for, recipes. It's not even people looking for porn anymore like it used to be. What eats up time is email. People spend a whopping 8 hours per week just checking on their email. That's a full work day spent on email alone. And email is just really the tip of the iceberg. I mean, let's take Facebook, for example. A recent poll suggests that Facebook users spend roughly 7 hours per week using that social site alone. And because of the sheer volume of YouTube videos posted to Facebook, it's estimated that those same users spend an additional 5 hours per week on YouTube, just on YouTube. So it really comes down to the visual that you see on the next page, on page 3. It's just a pretty little picture. Virtually every person you know and virtually every person that you want to buy a coaching package with you and virtually every person you wish would tell their friends and family about your coaching practice uses the web every single day. And most of these people are using the web to the tune of several hours a day. Not only do they use the internet every single day, but they're probably spending hours on Facebook or YouTube or Google Plus specifically or LinkedIn, and there's oodles more that they could be spending time on. And that, my dear coaches, is why you should care. The people you want to reach are probably spending significant amounts of time online. In fact, tons of those people are online right now during this module. And some of them are people searching online for the very things that you, as a life coach, can offer. They're out there looking for you right now while we're talking. You're taking this course tonight because you know on some level that this is important for your practice. And as you can see, it's important because social media is where a significant number of your client base is probably hanging out. And you know what's really interesting about the emergence of social media is that it has changed the whole marketing world. Marketing used to be almost exclusively one-sided. I mean, the big dogs like Coke or Procter & Gamble slithered into our living rooms every night by way of the TV to tell us as consumers what we needed to buy, how we needed to be cool, how we needed to appear successful, that smelling better would make us get a job or drinking the right soda would get us the right girlfriend or whitening our teeth would, make us superheroes. And if a consumer had something to say about that, it was really only her friends or family who'd hear about it. And while there's some power in word of mouth, actually a lot of power in word of mouth, it's not like it used to be because word of mouth now is online. One person at a time marketing is kind of not happening. We talk to quantities of people, mass quantities of people. We consumers used to have zero interaction with the big dogs we marketed to it. Well, now we have tons of input and engagement with those same big businesses. So social media, it's, we the people have a voice like we've never had before. We can tell the big dogs and potentially hundreds and thousands of their followers or our followers what we're thinking about their products or services, good or bad. Where we once had almost no audience as consumers, we now have a big one. And if those big dog businesses are smart, they'll engage us to win us over. They're even smarter if they listen to the chatter, spot the needs or dissatisfaction that people have about their product, and then meet those needs or fix those gripes through active engagement. And really, active engagement, those are the key words here. Engagement is the power word for social media. And I want to show you some very interesting stats that you'll find on the next page, more of a reason why you should care. On page 5, you'll see an infograph. You've probably seen these before. The social media infograph has some interesting little facts on it. And here, what I've done here is just pulled the top 6 hottest ones right now. This, as you know, doesn't cover all of them by a long shot, which is why some of you have written in questions about how you deal with being overwhelmed because there's so many. But I'm just going to take the top 6, Pinterest, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Google+, and LinkedIn, and talk about these for just a second. Pinterest, and I bring these up in part because for coaches, some of these are really a great fit. So starting with Pinterest, if you've used Pinterest at all, you probably found out pretty quickly how addictive that site can be. It's a social site all about discovery. And the way I like to describe it, and others have described it, is think of Pinterest like a big cork wall, corkboard wall. We used to have those in the 70s, where you just cover it with corkboard, and then you stick pictures with push pins or posters with push pins, anything that struck your fancy, you stuck to that corkboard wall. Pinterest is just like that, only online. You find something you love and you pin it to your wall. And you have people who follow you and follow your pins, and then they share your pins with their followers on their wall. The largest opportunities on Pinterest are decor, babies, wedding, fashion, and recipes. And really the reason is because 68%, according to the time of this infograph, of users are female, and we like that kind of stuff. 32% are male. 70 million active users at the time of this infograph, and of course that changes by the second, so there's no way to be absolutely up to date. This is really, really close. It's a very recent infograph. Now, Twitter is a microblogging social site that limits posts to 140 characters. A lot of people wonder, what can you do in 140 characters? But I think you, like me, have seen on the news how people can lose their jobs over 140 characters. So a lot can be said in that little bit of time. The largest penetration in the U.S., it has the largest penetration in the U.S. right now, but it surely is growing steadily. Twitter started in March of 2006, and it's already counting 560 million active users, with 5,700 tweets that happen every single second. And I would wager that's a pretty low number. I think it's probably a lot more than that. Facebook, we all know it well. It's become pretty much a staple in the social stratosphere. It's the social sharing site that has 1 billion users worldwide. And that's, they're saying it's, 1 billion active users. And that's a whole lot of people. The largest opportunities are communicating with consumers in a non-obtrusive way. It's important to note with Facebook, it started as a place to connect with friends. It was never Mark Zuckerberg's intention that this would become a place for businesses to do business. That wasn't the vision. It was about his college buddies being able to connect with college buddies. It was meant to be friends connecting with friends. And that really is the culture of it, even though people use it for business. It still is a very friendly place to be. It's expected to be friendly. It's even expected that businesses and brands will be more personable, less tightened up. Having a really super businessy feel doesn't really fly too well on Facebook. People expect a certain amount of friendly to stay in that particular culture. Users share about 2.5 billion pieces of content each day. It's all kinds of content that's included in this, from YouTube videos to links to popular sites like BuzzFeed or Huffington Post, And there's, like I said, 1 billion active users at the time of this infograph. Instagram is a social sharing site that's really just about pictures and videos. And it's mostly followed by, the most followed brand is MTV. And the reason that's important is it speaks to you, and you need to know this as coaches, it speaks to you what the demographic is. If most of the most followed brand is MTV, that gives you a great idea that this is a pretty young demographic who's on Instagram for the most part. Many brands are participating through use of hashtags and posting pictures that consumers can relate to. There's 150 million active users. Instagram is on fire and growing by the second. Google Plus is a social network built by Google that allows brands and users to build circles. And you probably already know this, but Google Plus came into being because Google was jealous of Facebook and decided that they were going to crush Facebook and wipe them off the face of the planet, but it is not happening. It's not happening even close. There's not as many active brands there. The ones that are there are a good fit with a great following, but it just hasn't caught on quite like Facebook did. It's growing. It's growing with 925,000 new users every day, and there's 400 million active users, but it's it has not given Facebook the run for the money that it fully and completely intended to. But it's definitely a valid thing to use, and I'll go into that a little deeper, a little further in the module of why you should be using it. LinkedIn is business-oriented social networking site. You know, in many ways, you could say LinkedIn is to business relationships what Facebook is personal relationships. Very similar thing. It's just Facebook tightened up for business. It operates in much the same way. It kind of has a little bit of a Facebooky feel. It's just that the point of it is brands relating to people, to business persons, people finding jobs, people posting jobs, people talking about business, talking about their company sharing. It is definitely a business place. 79% of users are 35 or older, 240 million active users, and growing very quickly every day. And this infograph really illustrates the point I'm trying to make. Marketing overall has changed because of social media. And I've put it in a nutshell on the following page, on page 6, if you'll turn the page. Average Jane and Average Joe dominate the internet. We rule. It's not big business. It's not fancy marketers. Well, not anymore. Their voice is no longer bigger. It's no longer louder. It's definitely big. It's loud. It's just not necessarily bigger than the consumer anymore like it used to be. The playing field is leveled because of social media. That's what's happened. Where we, the people, were once outshouted by big businesses, they have the money and resources to broadcast into our living rooms. Well, now we, the people, have the resource and places to go where we can shout, and we can shout our likes and our dislikes very loudly to large quantities of people. We are using our voices on platforms like Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn to share our thoughts about products and services that we love and hate. And we're heard like never before, and I've not even mentioned online review sites that are specifically created for the purpose of gathering your opinions and reviews of products, businesses, and services. And I'm thinking things like Superpages and Yelp and City Pages, those kinds of things. And the other one I'm thinking is Urban Spoon, where people go and review restaurants. Businesses like never before really do have to toe the line and offer excellence because people will talk about it online if they don't like it. So, yes, we should definitely care about social media, and you should care about it as it can be a really powerful tool for your coaching practice. You really do have a voice like never before. And with a whole lot less money, you can do a whole lot of more putting yourself out there before an awful lot of people. You already know that gaining new clients means you have to go to your target market. That's nothing new to anybody on this phone call. It's powerful when you can make a connection in person, and those are very potent connections to make. But a lot of your potential clients can't be connected with personally, hand-to-hand contact where you're shaking hands and introducing yourself, meeting them in person doesn't happen every single time. And so for that reason, you're wise to be present online, present and initiating engagement. And of course, I can't help you with the in-person part. That's all about you and where you live and who you're trying to reach. But the social media part is your gateway to the online part of this equation. And to make the most use of your online activity to build your practice, you need to know exactly what your target market is doing online so that you know where to go and find them. So I want you to think for just a minute about how you would answer the question on the following page, page 7. What are the main reasons people turn to the Internet? And I want you to noodle this for just a second while I take a sip of water and just jot it down if it comes to your mind, or just think about what you think the main reasons are. So the main reasons people turn to the Internet. Of course, people use the Internet for all kinds of stuff. It used to be the number one reason in the not-so-distant past, probably maybe 10 years ago or less, was porn. Porn was the big deal online. And it's not actually the big deal anymore like it used to be. And if you read my bio, you already know that my dirty little secret is that I look at food porn, that we all have our skeletons. But to that point, you need to know what your target market is doing online. If you were, for instance, a health and nutrition coach and you wanted to reach someone like me who likes to look at food porn, I go to these recipe sites absolutely every single day, you'll be interested to know that sites like All Recipes tout 7.3 million users, with Food Network giving them a good chase down at 7.2 million. So wouldn't it make sense for you to be present in some way on high-traffic sites that post healthy recipes? But anyway, that's a little bit of a rabbit trail. So back to my question, what do you think? What are the top reasons that we use the Internet? I want you to turn to the next page and see if what you thought is on this list. Page 8. The top reasons are, and these are in order according to several different sources that I found, the number one reason is to check email. Like I said earlier, people spend as much as 8 hours a week checking their email. The second is research for information or find a solution to a problem. Online banking is number 3. Sharing photos, links, or videos, number 4. 5 is sharing files business to business. 6 is Google Maps or another navigational tool, and 7 is shopping. And I was surprised by this. I would have thought shopping would have been higher up on that list. Well, this list is actually very revealing and super important as you build your presence online for your practice. The reason why is because at your fingertips, meaning your computer keyboard, you have the resources you need to reach people in ways you couldn't have just a few years ago. And the top 2 reasons on this list are absolutely in every way relevant to you as you build your online presence. If people are checking their emails to the tune of 8 hours per week, doesn't email marketing make sense? And honestly, email marketing is considered social media, by the way. If people are researching for information or solutions that you as a coach may have, doesn't it make sense that you be found as an online resource? Okay, So far, I've given you a bunch of stats and some compelling reasons to believe that social media is important and you should care about it as it relates to your coaching practice. Well, now I want to give you a little more of the nitty-gritty as part of this overview. We're going to unpack the social media box, so to speak. So to do that, I want you to think of social media as a big machine with lots of gears that you need to assemble. So what will this machine do for you online once you've got it all put together? I want you to turn the page for the answer to this question. And that would be page 9, just to be sure you're on the right page. Social media as a whole could be likened to a machine pulley system that you have to assemble and put into place. And stick with me here because this is going to come together for you in the next couple pages. So first of all, we're going to start with what's in this machine parts box. what's in here is the gears that will make things move for you. And we'll get to those gears in a minute. But first, I've narrowed this down to the four things we're trying to accomplish for your practice with a working, active social media machine. The first thing is you want to be found online. You want to be easily found online and in multiple places, so that when someone Googles your name, there you are, with a healthy page, number one page rank. Now, page rank is defined as where your pages show up when someone does a Google or Bing search for you, or the kinds of services that you provide. If your page rank is rocking and rolling, then that's because you're on page one. If it's on page 23 or 24 or 56 or 58, you might as well not exist at all, because very few people dig that far. Now, when you're digging deep into researching something, people who do that sort of stuff online, they do go really deep like that. But the average consumer doesn't ever go past page one on any Google search. So you want to be found close to that. You want to be on page one. Page two is okay, but page one is what you're shooting for. So number two, you want to build a mailing list. If you hear nothing else in this evening session, please hear this. The single most important thing you can do is build a robust mailing list. Because as I showed you just a few seconds ago, the lion's share of time is spent online in checking email. There are many strategies to email marketing, and that's really a whole lot too much to go into for this overall module of social media. But I want to plant the seed right here and right now that your mailing list is worth its weight in gold. And building it should be a main priority and one critical reason that you should use social media, because that's how you capture people's emails, is often on your social pages. So if you haven't written anything down yet, write that down, because that's an important point, one of the most important points in this module. Number three, you want to engage. Engage with your target. To make a connection through interaction with your target audience online is the main reason to be on social pages in the first place. Because when you make that connection or have those interactions online, you begin to accomplish number four, which is build trust. You need to build the trust with the people that are going to do business with you. So being found, reaching out, engaging, improving your trustworthiness, all of these things will lead to more leads and more clients. So I've said all that, so let's get to the gears to make this puppy start to run. Turn to the next page. It's a very simple page. It's a very simple message. You're going to start with the most important gear in this whole machine. This is page 10. It's your blog or your website. For you, that's where the information is. That's where you sell your services. That's where you post your resources. It may be for some of you where you take your payments. So you want to drive traffic there. Now, I want to add this one side note, that some people use Facebook as their main hub rather than a website. Some people do that more and more because you can create storefronts now on Facebook where you couldn't do that just not even a short time ago. It's been within the last year or so that they allowed people to start actually selling things on Facebook. So if you were to use Facebook as your main hub because you don't have a website, then we would put Facebook as its main gear. But for the purposes of this module, and because I believe you need a website, we're going to say your blog/website, because they live together on the website. At least that's what I suggest people to do, is they have their blog and website together. So that's your main gear. That's the place you want to point people to. Here's where it starts getting really interesting. On the internet, movement is magic. And by movement, I mean posting new, unique, never posted before quality content. And I define content as really anything you post. It's an article, it's comments, it's quotes. All of that's considered content. And here's why it's magic. Google and other search engines are committed to making every single user experience fruitful so that users see the best, most relevant search results possible on the first page when they're looking for something. The last thing Google wants you to do is have to claw through mountains of useless information to get to what you're looking for. And they use what's called search engine spiders to crawl sites to find those quality sites. These search engine spiders are looking for keywords that describe the content that the searcher is looking for. So when you type into the search bar a certain word, these spiders go to work looking for those keywords that you just searched for on quality websites. The more relevant the content, the better the page rank for that page where it's found. So it's up to you to provide that relevant quality content for search engine spiders so that they can in turn point users to your website. And every time you provide that great content, it's like turning a gear in this machine, which tells search engine spiders that you're active, you're moving, you're relevant, you're important. In fact, you're important enough for them to move you up in the page rank so that you show up on page one. And when you have a good page rank, obviously you get found online. Now, look, there are many other factors, many, many other factors that contribute to a good page rank that, again, I can't go into that deeper stuff in an overview, but active, relevant pages are one huge reason for a good page ranking. So hold on to your hat because we're going to turn the page and we're going to take this a step deeper. Page 11, we're going to add a gear. We begin adding gears. When we begin adding gears, we're adding opportunities for fresh, relevant, quality content that can in turn create movement on other gears. When you post a link on Facebook, for instance, that takes readers to your website or your blog page, you're driving users to your website, which tells search engine spiders that something pretty important must be going on over there since it keeps getting hit or since the gears keep turning. The more hits, the better. And the longer people stay on your site, the better it is because it speaks to these spiders that something really cool, some important stuff is happening there because people are going there and hanging out there. Over time, consistent quality traffic improves your page rank. So while I don't want to get into blogging in this module, and I do intend to do that in future modules because it's so critically important to a good, well-rounded social media machine, one important note is that unique content is critical when you're blogging. You don't want to post the same stuff over and over. If you write a blog article that's been posted somewhere else online, and some of you do that, you have other sites that post, I don't know, medical journals do that sort of thing. If you write and have your articles posted in other places on sites that you don't own, but you're a guest writer for them, you don't want to take that same article and post it again on your website. If you write an article, like, for instance, how to build a unicorn catcher, and you post that on your site and it's also posted on the unicorn catcher site, what happens is search engine spiders crawl that and they only give credit to where it was originally posted, and it disregards every other place that it shows up as duplicate useless content. It already has your article once. It doesn't need three or four of it. So it's not doing you any good, and in fact, it can actually do you harm. So unique content is important. If you want to post your how to build a unicorn catcher in other places, then you rewrite the article and give them a fresh new article. Same topic, may even be the same information, but you just have to rewrite it and make sure it's a unique piece that's never been seen anywhere at all on the internet so that spiders get all happy and excited about this new stuff they're looking at. This is important when you post and publish online because you have to keep this in mind. You're writing for two audiences. You've got your human audience, and you've got your search engine spiders that crawl your content. And it's really kind of hard to say who's most important. Without the spiders, you may not get seen at all. Without the human readers, who's going to pass along your great content? How are you going to reach the people that you want to do business with and coach? So I can't give more importance to one over the other. But the point of it is you have to write fresh, new, never-seen-before stuff. Okay, so enough of that rabbit trail. All right, let's turn the page and add a little more grease to this machine. It's really getting interesting now, at least I hope it is for you. You're on page 12. Using social media to bring users is the gear action that I'm illustrating. Not only do social pages give readers more places to find you on sites they already use, but search engine spiders will find you too, and they're what's delivering the results to your readers. See, so you clicks on links make these gears move. A comment on Facebook makes a gear move. If you share a pin on Pinterest, when you share a link on Twitter. Turn the page to see the action I'm talking about on page 13. All this movement brings attention to you and influences your page rank, just like a pulley system. Just think of it like a machine. It's just like a pulley system. All of these movements can cause your page rank to improve over time. Now, as I briefly mentioned before, these aren't the only factors that affect your page rank. And I really wouldn't want you to conclude that a Facebook post or even a ton of Facebook posts will cause you to hit number one on Google every day, because it doesn't work that way. There's search engine optimization, solid use of keywords, keywords in your images, when you post and what you post. And the fact is, you could find yourself on page one month of a Google search only to see yourself fall to page two or three the next due to a ton of factors. But all of that is too much today. What I want you to understand from this illustration is the big picture of how your activity on your social pages can influence the page rank, and that page rank is critical to you being found. And I've taught this to many people one-on-one many times. And from those experiences, I'm kind of already reading your mind a little bit. I kind of think I know what your next question will be. So turn the page and let me see if I'm right. If this page looks like you, there are tons and tons and tons of social media platforms. Which ones should you use for your practice? Oh, my goodness. There are tons of networks out there. And, yes, it is overwhelming. In fact, several of the questions that some of you sent in advance of this module use the word overwhelm. How do I cope with the overwhelm? Not only do you have the big ones I've used throughout this illustration, like Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn, but you have sites like Dig and StumbleUpon and Tumblr, Reddit, YouTube, Foursquare, Instagram, Meetup, Flickr, oh, MySpace, Classmates, what else is coming to mind? Yelp, Superpages. Boy, I'm going to stop because now I'm even overwhelmed. I could really honestly go on forever. But what I'm going to say next to you is truly key when focusing and trying to not be overwhelmed. This is truly key. So turn the page. These three words are important if you're going to use social media to build your practice. Who, what, where? I want to narrow it down to who, what, where, because this is going to help you make some social media decisions. Choosing the right platform comes down to who, what, and where. And the first two are about your audience. The last one's about you. Who is your target market? I'm not telling any person on this phone call anything you haven't already been told here on ILCT or any other place you've learned about social media or your coaching practice or marketing yourself or any marketing class you may have taken. This is old school stuff and you know it. But I'm going to say it anyway because people continually miss this trying to throw too big of a net. If you've not narrowed down your niche, you need to scooch that up to the top of your to-do list. Are you targeting new parents? Are you targeting people in recovery? Are you targeting entrepreneurs? Who your target market is going to unveil which platform will be the best one for you to use, the best way to use your time and resources, because like the infographic illustrated, people's like interests, they are probably hanging out on certain platforms together. And while there's certainly crossovers from Facebook to Twitter and people who use several different things, you want to use the ones that are best suited for your target market niche. What's working for one practice may not be the best platform for yours. So you need to know who that target market is. Second word is where. Where does your target market hang out online? Researching your target market is going to point the way. You're going to find out that young moms, they're hanging out on Pinterest. You're going to find out that entrepreneurs, they're hanging out on LinkedIn and Houzz. You're going to find out that Facebook kind of is a catch-all for just about every target market. If you're trying to reach a younger target, you're going to learn that Instagram is where those people are. And Twitter to some degree, depending on exactly who. Find your find out where your target is already and get familiar with that platform. Depending on who you want to coach, you may find that doing YouTube videos is your best bet for using your online time. Young people especially really get into YouTube videos. So it depends on where your target is hanging out because you want to go to them. So here's the what part. What platform would you actually enjoy using? It's really in your best interest, and you already know this, to use a platform that you know and love already. Because frankly, if you hate it or you're overwhelmed by it or you look at it and you have no clue how it works, you might get in there and just not stick with it because you find it too cumbersome. However, you may also find the challenge of having to master a platform that you don't much care for simply because your target market hangs out there. And if that's the case, then you have two options. The first option is to dive in and learn it. I hope that when you do, you fall in love with it. That's exactly what happened to me with Twitter. When I first started using it, I just could not wrap my head around the worth of a 140-character phrase. What good could that possibly do? What could I possibly say in so few words? And, of course, we know from the news, like I mentioned earlier, people can get in a whole lot of trouble in just 140 characters. People lose their jobs. They get arrested. But on the flip side, really good stuff happens, too. I know people who found jobs through Twitter. People sell books. I have a client who's an author who sells books on Twitter. People land contracts on Twitter. I found a guy I do business with who sells stickers and those little QR codes online, and I've gotten to know him. Got to know him through Twitter. So within about 6 weeks, I'd say, of consistently using Twitter, I not only came to see its value for business, but I fell in love with it. So if you hate a platform or you're confounded by a platform, it's probably still worth it to give it a chance. It's absolutely worth it if that's where your target is. But if in time you realize that you just really hate it, and you can't imagine ever feeling differently, and if because you hate it, your page is growing cold and stagnant, then you need to go with my second option, which is to hire someone to manage the page for you. There really is nothing worse than a stagnant social page. You really just don't want it to sit there. It's probably almost better to not have it at all. Okay, all of what I've just said is also true in reverse. For instance, you may be somebody who loves Instagram. But frankly, if your target doesn't love it, then using it for business just doesn't make sense. So use it for fun. And frankly, depending on your coaching practice, even Facebook, like I mentioned before, is a catch-all. It depends on your niche. It really may not be a good fit. And I say that to say this is what's coming to my mind when I say that. I had a client a couple of years ago who is a methadone and Suboxone clinic, and they asked me if I felt that Facebook would be a good fit for them, and I said no. And I said no because I did some research first, obviously, but what I learned and what felt right to me and seemed intuitive enough was that people who are struggling with addiction don't much want to tell the world about it on Facebook. And just by simply liking the page, it suggests to people that you have a connection somehow with the purpose of that Facebook page. And if there's a specific niche that you're involved in where this would be applicable, maybe you coach sensitive audiences to something of that nature, you may find that Facebook just isn't a good fit. And this is why I keep going back to you just have to know your target. Facebook is a good catch-all, but it doesn't catch all necessarily. So anyway, it comes down to this. If you're going to have a page, it needs to be one that you'll truly use frequently and engagingly and one that your target also uses. I'm going to add a little caveat to that statement in just a minute, but for now, that's my story, sticking to it. At this point in the module, I want to offer you some very basic strategy tips for starting to use social media. So turn to the next page, and it's already 8:15, so I'm going to try to whiz through these. You're on page 16. 15 basic social tips to get you started. The first one is know your audience. I know it's marketing 101. People miss it all the time. But you have to find out what they like, where they're going, what they buy, and what their needs are so that you can understand them and know which social platform to choose. Post frequently. Before we can define frequently, you really have to think like a real estate agent. It's all about platform, platform, platform. Know your platform to better determine what the word frequently should mean. Facebookers post as much as 7 times a day. LinkedIn users, not so much. It's business all the way, and they usually post if it's even once a day. Twitter users can post as much as 30 or more a day because the shelf life of the tweet is so short. Blogging is different. You might blog once a day. You might blog once a week. Blogging once a day suits very few people. That's a lot of writing. But for somebody who writes all the time, that may make perfect sense, and it's certainly great for getting good quality, fresh content out there. Frequency really does come down to the platform, but know this, really there's a bottom line here, and that is that if you're posting high-quality, relevant content, frequency becomes a little less important because your stuff is good and people will learn that. So number three is post quality images. And a polished looking page is like anything else. It communicates a certain level of quality and trustworthiness. You know, you want your images to be crisp. People, even big name people, post kind of bad pictures sometimes, fuzzy pictures sometimes. So it's not a deal breaker. I don't want to put too much emphasis on that. But you're going to be happier with how your page looks, and people are going to feel better about looking at it if you've got nice, crisp images on there. And at the end of this PDF document, I put resources for 3 of my favorite places to get free images. You can always go to Stock Photography Rep, and I do that occasionally when I need to. I use Dreams Time for that, but there are lots of great places you can go for stock images. But the resources is at the end of this PDF for free stuff. Number 4 is use your own human voice, and that may sound silly. I mean, what other voice do you have? But people sometimes try to, I don't know, salesy it up too much, and they come off a little inauthentic. You know, on social networks, don't be afraid to be you at all. Just really be you and let your personality shine. Let your business personality shine. It's even okay on LinkedIn, although you do have to play within the bounds when you're using your real voice. And when I say that, I'm thinking about LinkedIn. The very nature of that platform, while similar to Facebook, is designed for business persons, and it is businessier. So, like on Facebook, you'd post maybe a recent family picnic or the bass you caught last Saturday. Even on your business page, that can be okay on Facebook, but you wouldn't do that on LinkedIn. And once you start using these platforms, you begin to really see what the culture is all about. Don't be afraid to sit back and watch and look at other people's pages to learn. Number 5 is be informal, colloquial, conversational. For the most part, all networks are the same in that regard. They really like you to be you, except for, like I just mentioned, a little bit with LinkedIn, tighten it up just a little bit. Facebook at its core wasn't designed to be a business tool, as I mentioned earlier, and like we talked about on the infograph. And it was and continues to be all about making social connections with friends and family. Business has muscled in and found a home there, but businessy to an extreme is not going to fly there. So you want to keep it conversational and, the most important word here that I want to be sure you get is engage. You really want to answer questions when people ask them, and you want to take the lead and ask questions of your readers and ask them the way you would say them. Don't worry about phrasing it all special and businessy necessarily. Just be yourself. Number 6, blogging requires a call to action. When you blog, and you should blog, and I'll go into this deeply in another module, but you really should blog. It's a great way to be found online. It gives search engine spiders lots of stuff to crawl and your human readers good information when you provide quality content. But when you blog, ask a question at the end or give a challenge or some sort of prompt to get some action. Sometimes it's as simple as, what do you think? This will engage people. You want to know them so that you can learn what they need. And you want to know what services would best serve them so that if that's part of the scope of what you do, you can provide it. And so it's important that you engage them, and that's how you find out that the information that you want is to engage them. You want them to hang out on your blog page for as long as you can get them to hang out there. Like I said, that gives you some street cred online with search engine spiders. So if you ask an engaging question and they answer you, they're on there longer, and you can start a dialogue that keeps them on your page, and that's just really good for your page rank. It's good for them, too, because they're making a friend out of you, and you're possibly have a lead for your coaching practice. Okay, number 7 is brand yourself, and I'm not talking logo here. I'm saying that branding is about being recognizable in a flash. Again, you know this. You've already heard this in school. Maybe it's a cutesy picture that you use across the board. Maybe if you're a health coach, for instance, maybe you use a green apple on your page banner. Always, same green apple. Maybe it's a color combo. Mari Smith, she is a Facebook media expert guru, top person out there for Facebook information. She always wears teal. Now, her pictures are different. Her hair is different. Her makeup may be different. The pose, the smile may be different, but she'll always be wearing teal. It's her signature style. It is her logo, so to speak. So if you have a website, and you should have a website, whatever look and feel you created there, you could carry over to your social channels. So number 8, use several platforms. And here's the caveat I mentioned earlier to you about not using social media platforms that you hate. There are a few social networks that you need to learn because they're the biggies and Google loves them. So whether you like it or not, you need to explore and potentially use those platforms. Google Plus is one of them. Google's in love with itself, and we have to face that as a fact. It's king, and we have to play by its rules. So using Google Plus gets you in Google's good graces for a better page rank. So I suggest learning that platform and using it. Now, I'm not a big fan. That's just a personal and subjective thing. I find it clunky and frustrating, but I'm a quirky chick, and you may get in there and love it. And if you do, you can turn around and teach me some things that I will just lap up like a thirsty pup. But no matter how you feel about it, you really do need to get in there and use it at some point. If not right now, at some point. Facebook, I don't have to tell you, is another one worth your time and effort. There are some bells and whistles for businesses that you don't get on a personal page. So to create a business page is really in your best interest. You can do ads that way. You can schedule posts that way so that you can schedule them all at once and then forget about it for a while. So there are perks to having a page that, you know, beyond your personal profile. Number 9 is be proactive. You start the conversation. Don't wait for others to do it. And when they talk to you, talk back and engage. Number 10 is make your site mobile friendly. Everyone's going mobile. You see it all the time. Our handheld devices are center stage right now. So what you need to do is if you've got a website and you're not sure if it's mobile friendly, just pull it up on your mobile device. And if you don't like what you see, well, you know, you need to change some stuff. Number 11 is be transparent, but I add the word with prudence. I've already talked about being genuine and authentic, and a certain level of transparency really goes a long way in building trust with your audience. You know, you tell them the truth. Do what you do. What do you struggle with? What do you find challenging? But I add the word with prudence for what I think are pretty obvious reasons. So I'm not going to take up time preaching to the choir here. It's nothing that you haven't already told your kid. But we just have to remind ourselves that nothing we do online is private. And most of what we do online never goes away, ever. And, yeah, you can delete things, but somewhere in the memory of the Internet, what you've posted is probably there. And people with the know-how can dig way back and find very old content. And it's content that you may have thought you erased. So with prudence and wisdom, be transparent. And it takes me to number 12, which is protect your privacy. And I as a general rule, visit my privacy settings on a regular basis, like on Facebook, for instance. I want to do that to be sure I've not missed something or that something's changed. A specific example is your website. If you have a website, when you purchase that domain name, you are given the option to buy domain name privacy, and that's a great thing to do because savvy Internet users know how to find your physical address of any domain name user because when you bought that domain, you had to provide your address. And frankly, it's painfully easy to get that information, even if you're not tech savvy. I can show you how to get it in 2 clicks on your computer. And even if your address isn't like prominently posted on your website, it's easy to find. And there's really no reason for, you know, if you're in the U.S., for someone overseas to have your physical address. So it is a combination of bits of information that can get a person in trouble. So if you didn't buy the domain name privacy when you bought it, I would suggest you go back to your host and make that purchase. That's just a good way to protect yourself. Things like on Facebook, just as a little added thing, is I post a fake birthday on my Facebook page, and I don't put my history of places I've lived or the schools I've attended. Your Facebook settings really need to be taken seriously. Okay, number 13, be brief, and that's pretty obvious. Blog posts really do need to stay under 350 words unless you are such an engaging writer that when readers read you, they just can't help themselves. They keep going and going and going. And if you're that kind of writer, I say go for it, because that gives search engine spiders more stuff to crawl. And if it's quality content that is engaging your readers, then length becomes completely irrelevant. As a general rule, most of us aren't really that engaging. We need to keep it short. And people are in a hurry. So as a general rule, I say keep it brief. Number 14, pick three or four social platforms to work well. And truly, if three or four overwhelms you, pick one and add a blog to start. That's a great starting place. Use those two. If that's where your head is right now, you can always add a platform later. It's not like you're stuck with that forever. Just use them to the best of your ability and then move on when you're ready. And number 15 is don't think yourself into an inactive state. And boy, am I telling you stuff that you probably coach people all the time. If you spend too much time wringing your hands over this, you won't get anything done. So the best advice I could say is do your research, find out where your people are, and then pick a platform that you think is the best fit. Maybe you're wrong, but pick it and go with it and start. That's what you need to do. So as a quick recap, what we went over was I defined social media, gave you important stats, listed the top 7 reasons people use the internet. I gave you an illustration with gears and a machine and discussed which platforms to use and gave you 15 tips to help you get started using social media. And the next module that I intend to do will be knowing your target, knowing your social platforms, choosing the right platform for your coaching practice, the importance of blogging, the treasure trove found in online forums, the number one mistake not to make, and launching out. So I'm about to open this up for a brief Q&A because we have taken an hour. But before I do, I want to tell you about the last page of this PDF that you're welcome to scroll to now, page 18. On the last page, you'll see links for a special offer, sources for free images, resources for getting started in social media, and my contact information. My offer to you is a one-hour session of one-on-one social media consultation for half my usual price. I'm making this offer really only to you guys. We'll take an hour to comb through your existing pages if you have them, and I'll give you tips and tricks to make them better, or we can explore platforms that might be a good fit for you in your practice, and I'll show you how to build pages if you don't have any. All you have to do is click that special offer link, and it'll take you to a form for more detailed information about my offer. I've got a lot more detail than what I'm telling you right now. You fill in that form, and it doesn't obligate you to anything. Filling that form in will just redirect you to a page that's got greater detail about this offer. So don't be afraid to fill in that form and think you're locked in. You're not locked in anything. And as an aside, what I'm doing with that special offer is something that you can do and I would encourage you to do. It's very easy to do using email marketing. When you fill out that form that link takes you to, I'll be capturing your email address. Now, don't panic. I'm not a bombard a person with emails kind of person. I don't do that even close to that. But it does give me the opportunity to connect with you in the future if for some reason I have a deal I think you'd be interested in. And I don't share my email addresses with anyone, and I don't sell my list, and it's a secured list through my email service provider. But you can do this exact same thing with email marketing, and it's pretty easy to do. I use GetResponse, where I can set up landing pages and opt-in forms, which is what I've got when you click this link. It's an opt-in form. And then autoresponders that will do the next step. It'll send an auto response into your email box. And really, once I've created all those things, they pretty much run themselves. This is called email marketing, and it's a fantastic thing for you to do as a coach. And it might be something that we do a module on in the future. But anyway, I just wanted to give you that as an aside. So, okay, I've come to the end of this module, and we can open it up for questions. And you'll have to star 6 to unmute.
Hi, thank you so much for your presentation. This is Dev Paisley, and I just have a question, a clarification question. Did you say that it's best that we keep our website information private, personal information private?
What I was talking about is, the answer to that is yes. I think your physical address should be private. I am one of those people that likes to protect that sort of information, and I feel that any information you can't protect, you should protect. Some people list their physical address on their website as a way to contact them, and there may be some compelling reasons for you to do that, only you can decide. My preference is to have a contact form on my website so that all a person has to do is fill in their stuff, their information, and I can communicate with them from there. That's just my preference. I like to protect my physical address.
So is that, you're saying that when you first purchase a domain, you have the choice to purchase that privacy, and that's what you're suggesting? That's what that is?
I don't think I answered your question then. I didn't quite understand what you're saying. Yes, that is what I'm saying. It's called domain name privacy, because if a person takes your domain name and goes to a site called put it in there, it pulls up your information, and your physical address will show up if you did not purchase domain name privacy. If you do purchase it, then the address that shows up is your hosting service provider. And that's a wonderful thing, because there's someone in Texas or someone in wherever they are. It's not you.
Right. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. I have another question here from somebody who emailed something. So if you're thinking of your question, hold on to it for just 1 second. This person asks, let me see if I can find. I just had it. Let's see. How do you manage the overwhelm? It seems like there would be a lot of hours in the day spent checking and responding to your pages. And I'm going to say that there's a really cool tool that can help a person manage their pages a little bit better and their posts a little bit better, because this is a little overwhelming and it is a little bit much. And you really can't spend several hours a day checking in and rechecking and going back and checking your pages. So the tool that I use is Hootsuite for scheduling my posts. And Hootsuite is a neat tool. You can get a free version of it. It's Hootsuite.com. And in Hootsuite, you can schedule posts as far in advance as you want to. So you could spend several hours once a month and create a bunch of posts, schedule them, and then go on and forget about it. And this is especially good for Twitter, because in your Twitter settings, you can get email alerts anytime you get activity on that page. If somebody retweets you or responds to a tweet, you can get an email alert, and you know you're going to check your email every day. So this way you don't have to log into Twitter every second and find out what people are saying to you. You get alerts, and that's one great way to sort of streamline your processes. And there are Facebook settings that can do the same, too. If somebody comments on something that you've posted, you can get alerts for that. That saves you from having to keep your Facebook page open all day. So Hootsuite is one thing that takes away some of the overwhelm for me. Anybody else have a question?
Yeah, this is Angela Bombeck. Can you hear me?
Hi, Angela.
Hey, I have a question regarding blogs. Are you speaking of doing a blog on your own page, or are you talking about trying to get onto somebody else's blog?
Oh, that's such a great question. And I would say both. Now, what I was referring to was your own blog page, but there is such a tremendous value in being a guest blogger. I could not say enough about what a great opportunity that can be for you, especially if you're guest blogging on a website that already has a great number of hits or a big following or a lot of subscribers. So there's a tremendous amount of value in that. And what I was referring to earlier in the module is I am just absolutely convinced that having a blog page is a wonderful thing for you to do in an effort to capture email addresses, garner a following, and give search engine spiders a reason to find you interesting. You see, your website, for the most part, sits pretty stagnant unless you're constantly changing things on it, and most of us are not. Having a blog tab on your website affords you the opportunity to keep one page of your site constantly involved in new and quality content, fresh content. Otherwise, your website can sit there kind of stagnant because things don't often change on a website. That's why I think blogging is important. It also gives you the opportunity to share your knowledge, and giving away free good information and free knowledge to people is one of the things that gets you a following and causes people to come back to you over and over again, and they become leads and they become clients. So really both, to answer your question, really both are important. If you can guest blog, absolutely do it.
Curiosity, how would you try to get onto somebody else's blog?
Well, there are numerous ways that you can do that. I mean, anybody that you know personally, obviously you could ask them personally. You can always email the owner of the blog, but the first thing that you should always start with is become a reader and a subscriber of the blog that you're targeting to start with. You want to read those blog posts. You want to comment on those blog posts. And here's a really important part about commenting on a blog post. You need to make sure when you comment on anybody's blog post, never leave a link to your post. And never talk about your blog or your business. When you're on somebody else's blog, it's about their blog. It's about what they're bringing to the table. It gets to be all about them. It's the all about them show. So when you post a blog, you can ask them questions, compliment their blog, tell them, be specific about what you got out of the article that you're talking about. And you need to do this for a while before you approach somebody about guest blogging on their blog page. They're going to want to know why you want to target their blog page. And so you don't want to come out of left field and say, well, it's because you've got a lot of readers and I want to swipe your readers, because you're not going to be swiping your readers. You're going to be adding to your readership. Hopefully her readers will become also your readers. It's not an and or. But you certainly want to do the best you can to build a rapport with that person first off. But you know, it's really quite a compliment when somebody takes the time to read someone's blog over time and comment on a regular basis. So when you do that, the likelihood that someone will say, no, I don't want you guest blogging, is not very good. Once you've established yourself as a frequent reader and somebody who makes quality comments that bring something to the table in the discussion, that person's likely to really, with open arms, welcome you to guest blog. You just have to do that preliminary stuff first to earn your right to do that. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Thank you.
You're welcome. Anybody else have a question? Jane has asked, how do I not be overwhelmed by it all? And I'm going to just reiterate this one last thing, and then I think we can wrap it up unless someone's got a question. My best advice for that is once you've decided once you've established, at least in your mind, where you believe your target market is, they may be in several different places. They may be on Facebook and Twitter and YouTube. They may be in a number of places. But to conquer the overwhelm, pick one and create a blog and do those two things diligently and stick with those two things for 6 months. And once you've conquered that and you're feeling like you're really pedaling along really well, adding a second thing, like Twitter, for instance, is not going to be overwhelming like it is right this very moment, especially if you're starting out and you don't have anything. You really need to just bite off what you can chew for right now and don't worry about the rest. It's all going to bombard you and it's all going to be overwhelming if you try to take it all in. So look at your target first. Find out where they are. If they're on 6 different platforms, pick one, forget the rest, and blog. All right. Well, if there's not any other questions, I'm thinking we can wrap this up. And if you think of questions later, please do email me. I would love to hear from you, and I would love to hear what you got out of the session. And if there's big holes that I left, I'd like to know about that because I can fill those in for you and help you maybe see it a little bit more clearly.
Just want to say thank you. It was a very great presentation.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you so much.